fuck you dead.
So yeah, I just got back from brunch today, dude.
Brunch today?
Yeah, and brunch is the shit. I personally think.
Yeah, of course.
Because, like, why should I have to wait to drink at night when my feelings start during the day?
Right.
You know, I've been, it's like, cut out the middleman.
Hit it.
Let's ambush these fuckers at dawn.
Have you ever, you've seen True Detective Season 1?
No.
Okay, well, there's a character, his name's Rust, he's a detective, and he's being interviewed by the police, and he's drinking during the interview, and they go, Rust, do you need to drink during a police interview? And he looks at him, he goes, it's Thursday. On Thursday, I drink. And that's how I feel about Sundays, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's also just like a little cheat code for your weekend. Like, you get drunk in the morning, you pass out. That's 2 days now.
Yes.
Increase my days. If I do that Saturday and Sunday, which in a weekend to like a fucking 4 day.
Technically, I wake up at about 10 a.m. on Sunday. But when do I actually wake up? It's 4 p.m.
Oh, for sure.
You wake up, you drink, you go back to bed.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It gets you closer to the drunk you want to be, which is all of the time.
Yeah.
You know? That's the great thing about day drinking. Yes. It's like, well, yeah, I'd love to do this during the day and at night and whatever, as soon as I'm, every moment I'm alive. But
I went to the museum today.
Yeah, I did. That kind of caught me off guard. When you're like, oh, I'm learning. And I was like, that's not a Nick thing that he says.
No, my sister got me a year membership to the museums, which really called checkmate on the move of like Kelly wanting to go to the museum all the time.
Oh, right.
Because now it's like free. And now that it's free, it's like there's no way to say no.
Do you think like your girlfriend and your sister were conspiring in a way to trap you in a series of date nights?
They're trying
to
make me smart, bro, and I can't deal with it. Even though there were some fucked up parts.
What museum did you go to? The history one?
The Field Museum, yeah.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
There's some cool parts. We started in the Africa exhibit, which was like super dope, super dope, super dope. And then they had the slavery part, which. You gotta have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they did it in such a cartoony way. Like, you're sitting in this room that is a slave ship, and there's, like, this dude with a whip that with, like, a cartoon face. It was like, very mid-90s.
Yeah, that feels a little
super uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the white people are just head down, like... Yeah. Speed walking through that.
Yeah,
thing.
They're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Beforehand, you like, before the slavery stuff, you have to be very, like... Because you're trying to learn about the culture and everything. You're like, oh, very interesting, very cool. And then you get to the slavery part and you're like, super walk. Don't read a thing.
Right.
Otherwise, you're a weird guy.
Right. Yeah, that seems... It's also not like a fun date night thing with your... It's like taking someone to the Holocaust Museum. Well, that doesn't put you in a fun mood.
No, but they do that at least like really tastefully. Like, it's pretty... accurately miserable in there.
This was
like a fun day at the museum, like, and then we did
that's kind of bizarre.
It was really
strange. It
should
be like pretty sad, I imagine.
Yeah. It should be kind of miserable.
Yeah, there shouldn't be like a fun exhibit, like, oh, that exhibit was a blast.
Yeah, it was like they had like a not animatronic but like a full-on like light display of like you in a slave ship. It was super weird, super weird.
Yeah, so is that one of those dates you went on? You're like, well, that was fun. Like, what do you even say to that?
No, we had to cleanse. We went to, like, the mammals part where it's just a bunch of, like, I hope fake animals. I don't think they're real stuffed animals in there, but...
Oh, I think they do have some, for sure.
I don't know. But that was fun. You got to see all the animals and stuff and the birds. And then the giant T-Rex is there.
It really
T-Rex
does sound
skeleton.
Like I'm just talking to a little kid about his day a little
it
bit.
Was
like,
a field trip. It was a field trip with my girlfriend.
Yeah, it's just, your girlfriend's like, it's kind of fun learning about the complexities of like these different cultures. You're like, yeah, there were some birds, T-Rex was there, some big bones. It's like, my God, Nick.
I went on a field trip. It did feel like, because I went to the bathroom once, and then I walked out of the bathroom, and I didn't see her right away, and I was like, where's my girlfriend? I need security.
Your
security, where'd
just,
she go?
It's just like the, what's the thing they'd have you go with, what's the person? The adult.
The chaperone.
Yeah, the girlfriend is just the chaperone of life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just, like,
just looking out for you.
Yeah, yeah. Just well, that's the sane adult that kind of keeps me from being lost.
Yeah, she'll be like, are you going out drinking tonight? I'll be like, yeah. And she goes, you got your buddy?
Yeah,
yeah. I got my buddy. Okay.
Yeah, oh, my God. Well, you know, I feel like on this podcast we talk about my dad, obviously. But then the tragedy of that is we skip over all these other traumatic parts of my life that are also fun. I mean, you know, and I feel like we do that a disservice.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna get into one of them that I haven't. I've actually never told you this story before.
Okay.
But so I had this background. I had a, you know, I had a couple, had a core group of friends growing up. Only like three or four. Never been much of a popular guy. One of them was this guy that was a little bit of like a troublemaker. You know what I mean? He started smoking weed in like fifth grade.
I love how that's how he's a troublemaker. He's a
he's smoking weed in fifth grade. Offered me weed, and there was enough self awareness that I'm like, I know I'm gonna do drugs, but I need to chill because I just played tag recently. This feels a little inappropriate to start.
Yeah, I should
still have some childlike wonder where I'm not done with life.
You had enough self awareness at fifth grade to be like, I need to live out these wonder years.
Yeah, like I need to at least. And I told him, I was like, let's do seventh. I was like, seventh feels like when I'm going to start smoking.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's who he is, you know, bit of a rough family life. Uh-huh. His brother is a, you know, is a bit of a rapscallion as well. Was in a gang. Okay.
Scallywag.
So, straight
scallywag.
So I guess that made him sort of jealous. So one day in seventh grade, he came up to me and he's like, you know, we should start a gang.
Oh, yeah.
And again, my first thought is quite literally, because I don't have that many friends, I'm like, well, sweet, new friends. Like, we'll have new friends. We have a cool handshake. We have matching
outfits.
That's what
you think a gang.
I'm like, yeah, a gang is just a group of buddies.
Yeah, it's the Goonies.
They look out for each other.
Goon squad.
It's like fucking homecoming, basically. Yeah. I mean, it's just that this is going to be great.
Uh-huh.
And so he's just like, it'll just be people that are just chill, and they're all about making money. And I'm also like, bro, you're a middle-class white dude in seventh grade. Like, why are you into hustling, right? Your mom gives you an allowance. Like,
yeah,
I know
how much.
The money seems fine in your world. Also, second, it's just like, that could just be a group of friends. We don't necessarily need that to be a criminal organization.
Take out the money part, arguably a better group of people. Like, people who are just chill. Then you could have some fun.
Yeah, like, do you want to just, start a club? Maybe we just start a club at middle school. I don't know.
It's so funny, because if you really backtrack that, he just wanted to be a Boy Scout, probably.
He just wanted to be a Boy Scout. Let's join Boy Scouts. We get some discipline. We get things going on. There's an incentive structure. But he wanted to start this gang, and can you guess what the name of the gang would be?
It's got to be something like White Boy Stuntin', or like, although not everyone's white in this gang.
No, it's mostly pretty much an open door. Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of a community college pamphlet gang.
I have no idea. I haven't. Like,
it's A-Town Hustlers.
Okay. Which is
so A-Town, based on the town, Apex, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which, if you know anything about that place, is hilarious because it's like the most fucking suburban, boring whatever. So the idea that there'd
That's where I grew up too, Plymouth. And guess what we called it?
What?
B-Town.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea that there would be fucking like gangbangers out of Apex is in itself hilarious.
A-Town Hustlers. Nice.
So then he starts a real date. We gave a sign and everything.
You should throw that up after a set, dude. Just see what happens.
A-Town
just
Hustlers.
Crush. Just be like A-Town Hustlers.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, as if anyone's. Yeah, Apex, North Carolina, straight out the cul-de-sac, son. But then there starts to be like, okay, Saturday, you come out, we'll get the initiation going.
Oh,
to
no.
this gang,
yeah.
Right? And so another thing is, so.
Can I guess what the initiation was?
Well, we'll get into it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we're getting, that's a big part of it. So again, my mom drops me off in an SUV to initiate, which if your mom drops you off on the way to a gang initiation, you don't need to be in a gang. You know what I mean?
No.
And I literally had a backpack with pajamas in it because it's a sleepover.
You're sleeping over
for the gang initiation, for
That'd
sure.
That'd be so funny if you were in the back of the SUV just tying a bandana and be like, Mom, play some Tupac. And she's like, oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. I did. I was wearing a Green Day t-shirt and shorts.
You're ready to be initiated.
Ready to be in A-Town.
Let's go.
So we go. I meet up in this park. Which is like this weird, like a nice, actually like well-funded. Again, this is a community.
Like there was a playground
there
on
was,
the park.
There's a community with no problems, basically. Yeah. It's like they've put the money in. There's no need for this like random criminal organization.
Yeah.
And we get there. It's my friend, his older brother, and then just a bunch of sketchy dudes that are like look like from the cast of like Breaking Bad. Like just like tattooed up. Like,
oh, wow.
White, like, crazy looking, like, kind of, like, straight from a PSA of, like, don't smoke meth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, they went and rounded them up.
Yeah, there was a couple. couple dudes, like each one, like the guy that hangs out of high school. He's been out for a couple years, but he's still like back drinking a 40, hanging out with like his current girlfriend who's in high school.
Oh,
like,
wow.
They rounded those people.
All right. A-Town Hustlers, dude. Showed up.
So they're hanging, and then I get there.
You're there with pajamas.
I'm literally there with a backpack with pajamas. That's what you need to. This entire time I know this story, just imagine a fat seventh grader in a Green Day t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, you were kind of chubby, too.
I was pretty chubby. Just a fat old loser.
Probably had a box of Cheez-Its somewhere. Or thinking about a box of Cheez-Its. You were locating a box of Cheez-Its.
I was going to need a lot of Cheez-Its after this. Get through this time. But so we come up, and again, not the most organized group of people. They haven't actually figured out what the initiation will be.
No, okay. So, no one's put any thought into
it. Well, they have some thought. Like, his brother was like, what's it? I got, like, I don't know, the code or whatever. I got, like, the rules of it back at the house. He forgot it at the house. Yeah. He's got a lot going on. And then, but they haven't exactly figured out. And then my friend, I guess he was just trying to look up for me. It's like, maybe we should make him smoke his first J. But then they make fun of him. It's like, well, then what the fuck are you going to say? Like, what did you do to get in this gang? It's like, oh, I got high as shit.
I smoked weed.
Yeah. So they're like, well, that's off the table. Yeah. And somebody else goes, what we should do is we line up. We stand in a line in front of him. And one by one, we punch him in the face.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other guy's
that
like,
turned from like kind of fun to like, oh, no, now I want to go home.
And then he just went from like, we could just do a traditional like jumping, like you push him down, everybody. So there's just a five people brainstorming on ways
to think tank.
Horrifically hurt me. And again, I'm sitting in a fucking Green Day t-shirt and shorts on a summer day, and he's one of my best friends. This is one of my best and only friends. All I have. And I'm like, I almost want to chime in. I'm like, what if we watch Xbox? Play Xbox, we watch Family Guy, and just have each other's backs, you know? Like, I just, like, in my head, I'm like, how did this, there's so many moments in my life, Nick, where I'm just sitting in the midst of a horrible thing, and I go, what did I do?
Wait, what did I do? How do we reverse this?
Yeah, there's just one of those where I just, like, I want to go back to the initial, like, sperm heading towards the end, going, this will be a good time, and just be like, nope, wait on the next one, this ain't it.
That happens with my friends all the time now. They'll just be like, all of a sudden, we'll be walking on a trail. We'll go on a vacation together. Yeah. We'll be walking on a trail, and one of my friends would go like, I think I might want to go skydiving at some point. And then my other friend's like, I already booked a place for us to go skydiving in 6 hours. And then we're in a car on the way to the skydiving place.
But you just described a good time.
No, that's not a good time. Dude.
I'm talking about five degenerates brainstorming ways to beat the shit out of me, and you're like, yeah, so my friends want to go skydive. Like,
that's a thing that you're just spiraling out of control.
That's a fun, like, vacation idea.
No, dude, skydiving, you gotta think about skydiving.
I'll take skydiving over some guy named Rex beating the fuck out of me any day.
Well, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But so, what they settled on was that my friend Spencer was gonna, oh, I said his name. Well, that's whatever. His life is what his life is. I don't think there's any shocker there. But like that he's gonna punch me in the face basically like five times.
Five times?
Yeah.
He's gonna punch you in the face five times.
Yeah.
Are you the only one getting initiated?
I am the only one getting initiated.
Wow, that's some bullshit, dude. I would be pretty furious.
As you can imagine, not a lot of self-esteem at this point.
But you didn't have any, like, did all of you get punched in the face five times?
No, that's another thing. They're just sort of, I guess.
Everyone else was grandfathered in.
Everybody else is sort of a shareholder of A-Town Hustlers.
They're like, we're in, but this fat kid is out. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
That's a fun Friday night,
though. Again, we're just standing under a bridge. And there's just they're like, all right, go. And then he just punches me in the face several times.
Oh, my God.
And then I...
How hard? Pretty hard?
Pretty fucking hard. It hurt, like, real bad. And then afterwards, I'm like, sweet, we're still friends, right? Like, what's that? And they, like, hugged me.
You had to ask them that...
I mean, in my head, I didn't say that. I'm just sort of like, cool.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And then, yeah, then I was in a fish. And you know what the funniest part is? Nothing ever happened with this. When there was no, like, future plans, no, like, actual activity. There was, fortunately, there was, I'm not sitting here in a jail cell repping eight times. Like, nothing ever. It was just one afternoon, my friend punched me in the face five times. for a thing, and then it just never was really brought up.
That's
again.
What a white gang is, dude. That's what a white suburban gang is. It's just an excuse to bully a fat kid.
Yeah.
That's all they ever are.
Yeah, and so it just, like, never turned into anything, and then I even brought it up to him.
All kids with no ambition, dude.
They have zero ambition.
Kids in the city, they got ambition.
They're
they
like,
steal
they
from
dr-
people,
yeah,
you
they,
know?
Yeah, they were like...
They steal cars,
this was
they
just
sell
a,
drugs.
This was just another way to piss off mom and dad.
Yeah.
There was no larger...
Literally not even that, just punch you in the face.
Yeah, I think it was just punching me. And it just fucked, because I'd still talk to this guy sometimes. And I brought it up to him the other day, I'm like, can we just acknowledge that, like, fucking hat? And he just started laughing, he's like, oh yeah, A-Town Hustlers. And I was like, dude. I was like, just...
There was no apology?
He was like, it was mainly my brother's idea. He was in a rough place.
Yeah,
I was
kind of,
I'm sorry about that. But I was just like,
oh, okay. There was, okay. Later
there was but at
right.
the time, it was just like, I guess I'm just, so yeah, I am like an, I'm an A-Town Hustlers member. I got that going on.
That's so fucking funny, dude.
It was just, you know.
That is funny.
Another bit of, random, like,
yeah,
horrible
yeah.
thing.
Under a bridge, too.
Under a bridge being
really
punched.
Took it.
Yeah. And it's also like one of those, like, how was your friends? You're like, oh, great. Oh, it was a fun time. Like, you just have that lie in your head.
There's
like,
just blood running down your face.
Oh, yeah, I was a little fucked up. I mean, it was just.
How was your initiation, honey?
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty good. I mean, it was just.
A-Town Hustlers till I die.
I mean, it's just like, never. Especially knowing me, like, who do we know? Okay, we got a sensitive guy who doesn't stand up for himself.
Uh-huh.
Clearly a gang member. Clearly, you know, an enforcer of the streets.
Well, I just got back from North Carolina. I did...
Our home base.
Our home base,
the home
man.
Base of A-Town Hustlers,
the,
is what
the,
I mean.
Yeah,
no, that's,
yeah.
That's our home territory,
yeah,
for
dude.
Sure.
That, I was all up in your territory doing a bunch of shows. Big shot, the Idiot Box and Good Nights... Fucking refilled my batteries, bro.
Yeah,
I'm all juiced up now.
Do you feel like you let comedy completely run your self-esteem?
No, not self-esteem, but it feels good when you get juiced up.
It feels good when the thing you're working at all the time goes well. For
it's
sure.
just my shit goes into other things, you know. When comedy isn't where I want it to be, I just go like, you know. I'm pretty good at poker.
See what you
pretty
need to
good
do,
at podcasting.
What you need to do is not have that many other things. Like, we got the podcast, you got some relationships, you got some friends. But
yeah.
me, like, when comedy doesn't work out, it's sort of like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Well, you
I'm like,
I definitely
have, like,
feel that.
Not that many other, you know,
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
things going on.
It definitely changes my whole outlook on life. You know what I'm
for
saying?
Sure. Oh,
when I
sure.
do, when I'm doing well, I'm like, okay, I can tap into this
oh, for
right
sure.
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was opening up for Dan Soder, which will include his episode of this podcast after this podcast. If you're listening, if you want to keep listening, listen to his episode because he's the best. If he's in any city that you're in, go see him.
Oh,
he has the best 9/11 joke right now. I watched this whole hour multiple times. The shows were fucking awesome. I gotta ask you, have you ever done like. Awesome on stage and then just bombed shit in the green room.
Yeah.
Bombed shit
That's
in
how
the
it was
green
with
room.
Old,
dude.
Tim Dilly, honestly, one of the weekends was just awkward.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
Just,
dude.
You go, it
it's
feels like
so hard.
It feels worse than like The Office. Like you go and you make the people laugh and you go back and like the conversation. It's like a date, like a first date that just isn't going well and you can tell there's no connection there.
Yeah.
And it's dumb because like you're comedians, you're like, well, I guess we'll all get in common, we're all funny people. But sometimes it's like, oh, there's just nothing, like, we don't get along at all.
Or it's just like, they're just not, like, Dan's the nicest dude, like, he
but
wasn't mean
also,
at all.
I think for them, that's just like their Monday, they're
yeah, exactly.
at work.
And then they're at work,
we're like, this is, you tell your friend, you're looking forward to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, my
like,
parents are here.
It's a big, it's like spring break for us, it's like,
yeah,
holy shit. And
I'm
then for them, they're like, they're bummed that they have to talk to you.
Exactly.
You know,
dude.
They're
dude.
Bummed they have to put up with this random lunatic in North Carolina.
And I did the most ridiculous thing you could ever do if you're in my situation where you're like opening for someone you like respect and love their comedy
right.
and everything. What you should do is shut the fuck up. right. and just like
just be a just be a chill
be
guy.
A regular guy. Yeah. But I was like, I was so sketchy the whole time I was in there. I have Midwestern brain, I realized, because it's like the leading up to the weekend, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be chill, I'm gonna whatever. But if I see somebody who's like been on TV before, I just go, what the, you? I know you from the TV.
Oh, you still? And I can't say. There's so many nerves around hanging out with like a very famous person. Because in your head, you're kind of like, oh, everything I say I want to be awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
And everything and most things we say are not that great.
What a ridiculous way to think about yourself.
What a hard standard to have.
Exactly.
You know? And so it usually falls apart with you just being like really quiet and awkward.
I'll run through some of the worst things I said in the green room, bro.
Well, there you go.
I've got a top three. The third worst thing was we were looking at the waiters and everything, and I was like, man, I miss waiting tables, which is a huge lie.
Trying to make conversation.
I just was like, say something, and I was like, I miss waiting tables. And then of course Dan was like, man, you and me are different people. And I was like, yeah, I just said a ridiculous thing, and you can't take it back.
It's also like, yeah, you have to defend that stance now. I just genuinely love a stressful job. Yeah, that doesn't
I love
enough.
A shitty job that I get paid $2 an hour for. I love it.
As if Dan's gonna be like, yeah, dude, honestly, sometimes I'll be on the stage recording an HBO special, and I'm like, man, I wish I was at a fucking Carrabba's. It was really just crowded right now.
Exactly, it's like, what? Dude. It was
also you're in the
God.
Midst of doing it. You're in the green room at a hot comedy club on a weekend, and you're like, boy, do I miss just a wild brunch rush.
It was
covered in ranch. People
wild
are here, right?
thing to say, man. I couldn't
understand.
Believe it,
Nick. You gotta just sometimes, and it's hard, but I've come to do it. Be okay with just kind of sucking. You know, you have to learn, and we don't talk about it a lot as people in this country, but like, there's a lot of us. We just kind of suck. And we try to avoid it. We try to the elephants.
No, I was pretty torn up about
this. The elephant's always in the room. The fact that you just kind of suck.
Sometimes
you just need to accept it. Where you're in the green room, you don't have anything to say because you're not that important or anything. And so you just kind of just be quiet and say your fucking 10 minutes. Let Dan talk. He's cool.
Yeah.
If you got something to say, you'll chip in.
Yeah.
We don't, but I feel that sometimes it's quiet with somebody, even somebody you love, your friends, your
girlfriend,
whatever.
Anybody.
And you feel the need to start a conversation out of nowhere. No worse conversation than when you're looking out and you're like, oh, a lot of signs. There's no worse time because all you're saying when you do that is you're like, hey, I can't be alone with myself.
Yeah.
Hey, can we just have some chatter to distract from the fact that we're all going to die one day? And you just can't be doing that.
That is what that it was, too.
That's
was
all that. That's like, you were just in your brain. You didn't like your brain.
Oh, I was in my brain the whole time. Anytime
to be granted,
I was
I hate
offstage.
The inside of my head. I hate the inside of your head. I've never even been there.
Oh,
but I know
it's a terrible place, bro.
Well.
The headliner, though, the headliner of the worst green room behavior after the Thursday show was amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking everyone on the show crushed. It was just like front to back, great show. Dan gets off stage. We're in the green room. We're joshing around. We're just talking about whatever. I forgot. They were just trying to find a place to eat. And then I wanted to talk shop with Dan. I just wanted to like talk about one of his jokes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to hear what how he thinks about jokes. Because that's crazy cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, a good way to do that is try to pitch him a bit, dude. Run it.
Right. So you're thinking that you bombed at the waiting tables thing, right?
Yeah.
You haven't talked to him that much. It's clear that, you know,
I've talked to him.
He's
like,
the headliner.
He's
talked
cool
to him on the
me.
Podcast for sure.
Yeah.
But also, he's the headliner.
Yeah. He's had an HBO special.
You're announcing drink specials in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And you think...
breaking even.
You could use the advice from me.
I don't know what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? You could be like, hey, I know you're in New York, literally with the best people alive that do this thing, but I co-headlined a Giggly Wiggly 2 years ago, and I want to fucking tell you what's up. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
I should be interactive.
I regularly do okay at bar shows in Indiana.
Yeah.
So I want
to
fucking tell
you.
You
should know me and you should put me... My thoughts deserve to be with your thoughts.
Yeah. I am told that I'm someone with a lot of potential, possibly. A lot.
yeah.
So...
My parents are coming tomorrow, but here's a tag I wrote for you.
Yeah.
And it went terribly. He gave me a nice, short, quick answer of why it wouldn't work. And he skedaddled out of the green room. And the feature and Dan's girlfriend were in the green room with me. And they looked at me like, oh, buddy.
See, that's one of those where you go,
buddy.
Oh, maybe it wasn't that bad. And then they look over and you're like, oh, it was.
Oh, it was. That was confirmed. It was confirmed,
Nick,
bad.
This is another thing that I think we need to tell people to do. Sometimes your self-hatred and anxiety is right.
It was right. It's very
sometimes
right,
you're kind of like, should I? You're like, maybe I should believe in myself. There's sometimes where or you shouldn't. There's sometimes you listen to that little voice that says you're not good enough. He's just trying to help
I blame North Carolina, dude. They built me up. I was doing amazing in Greensboro and stuff. They were you're so funny. You're great.
Nick, you also got to remember you just said the phrase North Carolina. You know what I mean?
Like, I love North Carolina.
We all love North Carolina, but it's also fucking North Carolina.
I know. They make me feel so good when I'm out there that I fucking.
That's like
up.
If we were like, bro, I was at the club just murdering in Montana. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dude, and you're laughing like, it's, I mean, love North Carolina, but it's still, it ain't, it's apples and oranges. You know what I mean?
It definitely,
when I'm back home in Wyoming at the home club, it's like, yeah, I'm sure you're one of the 15 people there that can successfully do stand-up. You know?
Yeah.
But.
But yeah, dude, it was rough. But Dan's super nice. He was super nice to me afterwards. And he knew I was, obviously, everyone could tell I was nervous, dude. I had like pit stains. I was like talking gibberish. They were like,
sometimes we fuck up.
It was a fun weekend, though. It was a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like a great time.
We got through
just
it.
Just made
dude.
Nervous small talk in the green room. You bomb by just pissing off the.
But the on stage was incredible. And his audience was awesome. I met people after the show. Like, it was a great weekend, except for like the 45 minutes combined.
Like, oh, you the guy Dan said pitched him a tag?
Yeah,
that
dude,
was terrible.
Oh, it was. I'd quit, dude. It would be over. If he, it'd be donezo for me. If like people in the audience were like, you didn't see his tweet? Yeah, he tweeted about this dumbass who pitched him a tag.
You know what the saddest part is? That would be your biggest credit. If he tweeted about that, you would have to brag and be like, this next comic, Dan Soder once tweeted about him on Twitter and called him an annoying hack. Give it up for Nick Cartwright, everybody.
It was almost sick because so he had his girlfriend in the green room, and his girlfriend made a joke about, because I was like, we both wanted a brownie sundae after Saturday, and I was like, oh, we could just share one. I don't know if I'm going to eat the whole thing. And she was like, if Dan sees us sharing, like, he'd have to fight you. And then in the back of my mind, I was like, if me and Dan Soder fought, that would be huge for my career. That would be so big
for
me.
The sickness of doing this goddamn thing is you're like, that is great content. Like, if Dan Soder broke your nose in a parking lot, that's actually great. You're like, we put that on TikTok. We have things going on. We have articles.
The whole weekend, I'm scared of him hating me. But then I was like, if he hated me, that might be good for my career.
No. It's either he really loves you, takes you on the road. But if he really hates you to the point where he breaks your nose in a parking lot, he's on TMZ. They're like, who's this Nick Cartwright? The guy's like, he's some unappreciated. To the point where, like, I might actually start a fight with the next headliner.
I know.
He breaks my nose.
Yeah. Kind of instigate him.
I mean,
a little bit.
I mean, it's just so dark with this shit where you're just like, that kid. Well, you can be bleeding from the nose. Someone's filming you, and you're like, this will get so many followers.
Just
the retweets alone is worth.
There's a kid. There's a TikTok of a kid being stretchered into an ambulance, and somebody's recording him, and he's just his like dying. He didn't die, but his like last words before shutting the ambulance doors is just like, tag me. He whispers, tag me.
That's kind of how I feel with all this possible World War III shit. You know what I mean?
I
feel like there's a decent chance that. Bombs.
That's how you know we're good comedians, dude. We didn't even say the word Russia this whole time. We didn't even talk about
no,
it.
No, 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 for sure. But I'm saying there's a chance.
It's all business on this podcast.
Yeah. There's a chance. You know, the bombs are falling while we're podcasting. And we'll be the guys that are just like plugging our Patreon on and help.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, as it's going down. A fun thing to listen to in the bunker as you're holding your family is the fucking dad podcast.
I will scrape the Patreon link into a hand grenade and throw it into a bunker, dude. I will do what it takes. You could have supported Ukraine on Patreon.
Everyone in Ukraine right now is nervously in their apartments holding their heads listening to Fuck You Dad. I think that's absolute truth.
Absolutely.
That's the absolute truth. Whole thing's been pretty terrifying. But
I think... I think it's time for us to plug what we got to plug.
Okay. Yeah, well...
this will come out, if you're listening to this, in Iowa City right now. We are in Iowa City tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're at
the Joystick.
We're at the Joystick. Headlining.
Ripping it
feature,
up.
Having a great time.
Cheap drinks.
Calm the fuck out.
Such a
super
good room.
Super fun. Great time. We're going to be in Lincoln, Nebraska on the 26th, me and Nikki. And also Lincoln Lodge, 5 days, seven nights a week, comedy.
Yeah.
Great shit all the time. Come out and see us.
Absolutely.
Support the goddamn Patreon. It's
the Patreon.
Literally all we have.
Yeah, we got to hop on that after this. We got to spit some. I got some extra juicy details that I'm going to spit on the Patreon if you want to hop on that.
100%.
And keep listening for the bonus episode with Dan that we did. I think that was earlier 2021. And we love you. See ya. Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could
follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much. Whoa! You know what it is. Welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. Today we've got a very special guest. You might have seen him on Showtime or HBO. Those are two big channels. He's got a special Son of a Gary on HBO. Highly recommend it. Everybody, give it up for Mr. Dan Soder.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Dan? How you been?
I'm good. Fuck you, Dad.
Yes.
It's a good intro.
That's I've never been so confident going into an episode because a lot of guests that we ask to be on are they're like I really love my dad a lot. Yeah. So yeah. Is that okay to be on?
He's my friend. He's
yeah.
My always hero. Encouraged.
Anyone that can contact them should not be on this show.
Yeah. But you yeah.
Like, that's like your prerequisite where it's like, when's the last time you talked to your dad? And if anyone goes, like a couple of years ago? Yeah. You want to do my podcast?
Yeah. No, that sounds perfect. I'm sure you've got some stories.
Yeah, dude. The Son of a Gary is not a title because I love my father.
Yeah. That's what we were thinking with this one. Well, one, it was like when we were drunk at a bar and we were like, fuck you. We were saying stories back and forth about our dads. Yeah. We kept saying, fuck you, Dad. And we're like, that's kind of a good
name. It's a funny name.
Yeah, we'll throw it on name. Yeah.
It definitely gets your attention.
Right? And now now I've noticed, like, before I come up on stage, like a douche, I'm like, can you plug my podcast? I never thought I'd be that guy, but now I'm that guy because it gets kind of like a semi... It gets them chubbed up a little bit for the set, you know?
Sure. What is your... Do you have them bring you up as F you, Dad, or fuck you, Dad?
I think you usually go full fuck
I
you.
Usually go full fuck. Because yeah. F you, Dad, they're like, is this kid like a pussy?
Yeah, is he in middle school?
F you, Dad. Hey, yeah. I'm mad at you. That's like the podcast where you flip your dad off when he turns the corner.
Yeah.
This is you. That's my favorite line in the Weird and Wild Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. This fucking awesome documentary. Is this kid just goes, this is you, Dennis. This is you, Dennis. He's talking about his dad.
I'm sure it's because he wouldn't pay for his pills.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I got to look that kid up. God only knows.
Are you Googling right now?
No, I was loading a bowl.
Oh, okay. I was like, hell yeah,
going
man.
Full research on that one.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Guys, hold the podcast.
Yeah. We're gonna pause the whole thing.
If you guys could, I got to track this kid down.
So, Dan, I know growing up you were I think that's why you're going to get along with my co-host a lot, because you two were both kind of like garbage children. Like, you kind of started...
Because that's supposed to be.
You know what it means. When did you start taking pills, Kenny? 14, 15?
Oh, yeah, like around there.
Okay, so acknowledge it.
Did you grow up in Manhattan?
No, I grew up in North Carolina, baby.
Yeah, that's like the two things. It's either rural or the biggest city in the world. Kids are like, any kid that grew up like, probably 14 miles from a Circle K got a good opiate problem by the time they were 12. And then every kid that grew up on the Upper East Side had to be in rehab by the time they were 13 and a half.
It's a lot like gambling. You have like either you're very like destitute people or like very rich people. Those are the only two sides. Yeah,
it's a good point, man. They fucking nailed those markets.
Yeah,
I feel like we got them. We got both of these.
But I've always wondered if you got any into actually like real trouble when you were a kid, or did you kind of?
No. I was a pussy. I was a total like, I loved being the funny guy in the group. I didn't want to push any buttons. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you weren't like a fighting kind of kid.
No.
Okay.
No, dude. I did not fight at all. I loved being silly, and I hung out with the kids that liked to fight. So I mean, I got in fights, but I wasn't. It was never like I was never the kid that started the fight. I think anytime I ever got into a fight, it was because I was there and it was just my group of friends and something was going down. But I was never like, Yeah, I did. They had to put me in a padded room when I was 12 years old. Yeah. I fought everybody. I was a sensitive little bitch. I was just like, I liked the Simpsons wrestling and the 49ers, and then everything else. I was like, yeah, I'll get through it. You know.
Now the 49ers. Are you a fan of them because of your dad?
Yeah, totally. It's the only thing we share.
Yeah, me and my dad.
Really, I've thought about
sports
that.
Sports is the only thing it. Most people share with their dad, I think.
Yeah, it's modern day religion. It's just like yeah. It is. It's like it gets passed down to you. That's why when people like mock Steelers fans or whatever, and they're like, "All right, get a life," and you're like, "No, dude, that's their Catholicism.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's what they got."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you see a guy shirtless, painted. Shit on his chest. The man loves something. Let him love
exactly.
it.
Yeah, yeah. Let him, dude. If someone wants to jump through a fucking table in a parking lot in Buffalo, let him celebrate their yeah, religion. Yeah, yeah. Let him get CTE the long way.
The Super Bowl is on a Sunday for a reason.
Yeah,
dude. Football's on. I mean, you know, I think there's been essays written about that, about how football's the new religion because it is on Sundays and it grabs the attention of everyone the way church, because if you think about it, church probably got people before football, like back in like the 1600s.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Crazy stories from the Bible.
Yeah.
Where they're like, a whale ate a man. And they're like, holy shit.
There's people with big signs next. With just a letter G and Zus. Just like, Jesus, Jesus.
He has risen. He has risen. And that's like, you know, you'd think like the reason that the Chiefs fans use the tomahawk chop is because it probably scared the shit out of everyone that stole the land from the original Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason. So it's, I don't know, like football was the only thing my dad and I, first off, ever really talked about. But second, just had in common where there was no bullshit. You know, there was
exactly.
So much, there was so much bullshit in everything. In every other aspect of our relationship, it was full of bullshit except the Niners. It was like, I could call him and be like, they beat the Saints. And he, you know, I was like a 9-year-old talking to an alcoholic fucking 43-year-old, like we were bar buddies. And I think that helped me with stand up. I think that was like, you know, I've said jokingly on stage before, but I kind of mean it. I feel like my mom's not being honest with me. And I feel like my parents in 88 were like, you want to make this kid a comic? Like, you disappear. I will ride him like a son of a bitch until he's 16, and then just hands off the wheel. And then let's see where he goes.
It's like Tiger Woods. Do you watch that Tiger Woods documentary?
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Where guy just hits balls in front of his infant for like hours and hours and hours.
That's what it was. My dad showed me Pryor and Dangerfield and like, and then, you know, that was he's my Earl Woods. And it was the opposite for comedy. You just can't be in their life.
Yeah, Earl absolutely. Woods had,
Earl Woods was too much in Tiger's life. And then my dad was like, I'm gone.
Well, so he didn't live with you guys, right? He left pretty.
No, he did for, you know, we moved. I was born in Connecticut and then we moved to Colorado when I was like 4 or 5 because my mom's family was there and she got transferred for her job. And then they got divorced almost immediately. And then my dad moved like 3 months later back to San Francisco. So he was in San Francisco as long as I can remember.
Okay.
He lived in California.
Gotcha. And you would go visit him like what? Was it like once a year kind of thing?
Shit, man. Depending on how much child support got paid. sometimes it was, I more than likely it was like twice. My mom, like, I think even my mom was like, all right, he's got to see his kid twice a year.
Yeah. Would you go more if he paid or if he didn't pay?
I would go more if he paid child support.
Oh, I see. Oh. I thought it was like, if he didn't pay, she was like, you go to your dad's house and you get that money.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I thought you were coming like a collections person.
Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Yeah.
I noticed you have a nice girlfriend. Shame if I told her you don't pay your ex.
Exactly. You just extort
words,
your dad for the child support.
Words can be a powerful thing, Gary. I'm thinking you don't take me by that Toys R Us and buy me that WWE ring. We're going to have some problems with your friend Cheryl, is it? Cheryl seems like a nice lady.
Child support does sound like a mafia term for what it is, right? Like, you want to support your kid, right? You want to support, you want to see him grow?
Yeah, it's protection. My mom is rather like protection. Dude, my mom was fucking, My mom was one of those white ladies that really, Patrice did a joke about it, but she really was one of those white ladies in the early 90s that was like, I'm going to the courts. I'm taking this son of a bitch to the yeah. And then my dad, honestly, I gotta say, he fucking outfoxed her and he just went off the grid. He was like, good luck, dude.
Living in
good
RV luck. Somewhere.
I was gonna ask, so you never got to, there wasn't like your dad in court story? Like that never happened? He just kind of...
The closest one that happened was when my mom, when they had gotten divorced, it was the custody battle. And I remember this specifically. She was like, you're going to have to come into court and tell the judge who you want to live with.
And that's like, so cruel.
Brutal.
And I mean, they made kids fucking do that.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, you know? And then I was like, well, what if I want to, I think it was like, I said something like, well, what if I want to live with dad?
Yeah, that's
like,
such a huge decision to put on. How old were you? Like
5?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then I remember my mom was like, dude, this is such a fucking flex on my dad. And my mom was like, if your dad shows up and you want to live with him, you can live with him.
Like, she knew.
Okay.
She knew.
I said it like, okay, that was kind of shitty. And then we showed up to court and it was just an empty chair. And I was like, oh, fuck, you knew what you were talking about. Fucking nailed it.
Guaranteed.
Trish just fucking knew it. She Ali'd me.
Yeah, she went all. She put all of her chips on. He's not showing up. And boom.
Custody is mine. It will end in 9. And they're like, oh shit. Oh shit. You knew it. He will not show. And I will probably. Yes. Then she levied his wages at the end. But what's so funny is they enacted a bill in 1997. We looked this up on the bonfire. They enacted a bill in 1997. Called the deadbeat dad law.
Wow. I'm surprised we didn't know about that.
Yeah.
You can go to prison for not paying child support. If the court rules that you have to pay child support and you go over a certain amount, it's this law that then you can be put in jail or prison. And it was enacted, we looked this up, in 1997. The year my dad died. My dad was like, fuck you, lady.
Yeah. Charge me from the grave, bitch.
Yeah. Come get these bones. I'm getting cremated.
So, they can't put a ghost in jail, son.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He heard about the law, and he's like, I'm out. I'm not holding on any longer.
He's like, fuck it, liver. Kick
out.
Yeah,
yeah.
So did you grow up with like lots of stepdads? Is that a weird question to ask? Like, was your mom getting fucked?
Yeah, dude, my mom was getting boned on the regular.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to know.
My mom was good about it, but she dated my entire childhood, and then I had a stepdad from when I was like 8 to 11, and then boyfriends after that. So she only got remarried once, and he was cool. I liked my stepdad. My stepdad Nick was cool as fuck. Some of her boyfriends were just straight up dildos.
See, the boyfriends are supposed to be cool, and then the stepdad is supposed to be a dildo. But you had
stepdad was what's up. I don't think she married him unless I would have given the nod. Like we were close.
Oh, okay.
Like when you're an only child and you have a single mom, it's just kind of a relationship where she's like, she took what I thought into great consideration.
I envy that so much because in my family, I was just for the ride. I'm on the roller coaster. Wherever they go, I go. I don't have any say in it, you know?
Yeah, there was this weird thing that my mom always did, and she did this even when I was a baby, where she would always speak to me like an adult. Like, she wouldn't, and not in, like, not in a way where it was, like, too personal, but she would just kind of be like, when she would talk to me, she'd be like, what's going on? Why are you doing this? Like, we would have conversations as opposed to her being like, damn.
Yeah, don't do that.
My mom would be like, no, fuck that. Like, I remember my mom being like, get in the car. And it's not like, And I'm like, I don't want it. She'd be like, Dan. And I'm like, all right, I got it. But we had a relationship that was very like, I think I heard someone one time call it a husband. I was like her little son husband, where she would just be like, do this. I mean, it fucked me up in other ways. But what I really loved about it was, I could talk to adults like adults. Like that was like my thing. And my dad loved it because he would take me when I would see him. He was he moved up north to that lake town. And God, when I was like 10, 9 or 10,
okay.
I want to say 9. And then he was a bartender at a bowling alley. So when I would go hang out with him at work.
The best place to be a bartender.
Oh, it is seedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like normal bar patrons are like, I'm here to drink. But bowling is like pretending like you're not there to drink, but really you're there to
Very
drink.
Very well said. It is absolutely it's a fucking beak.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I just went to play bowling. Exactly. And now I'm asleep in the parking lot.
Yeah. Those people are there to hide. They're hiding from something.
Yeah, mostly probably child support. That's that's a fucking child support den.
Yeah.
Listen, if I throw a perfect game, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Liz, what do you want from me, Betsy? I rolled a 270. Get off my goddamn ass.
Two more strikes and I get a free game, okay?
Oh, just put the kid outside. Yeah. 20. Yeah, it was wild. It was wild meeting those people.
Yeah, would you hang out there as a kid, the bowling alley?
Yeah, but I got to play video games and bowl.
Yeah, that does seem like, really
that's
fun.
A great, probably best memories you have.
I mean, my ironically, my favorite memories of he and I are when he worked at a liquor store named Dan's Liquors in Mill Valley.
Oh, there you go.
I've had fans go by and take pictures. I go by there every time I go visit my grandma, because my grandma still lives in Northern California.
Okay.
So I'll go by there and buy a Gatorade and a water is kind of like a pillage.
Yeah, because that's nice.
In my mind, that was like the best time. It's when I was like, I think it was two summers and a winter that I went out there and just spent like 2 to 3 weeks with my dad, and I would go to work with him every day, and we would just like hang out. And that's honestly when we talk about the Niners.
Yeah, okay. That's dope as shit.
Yeah, and then he would like take me. It was always in the summer, so like the Giants were playing. So we'd go to Candlestick Park a lot and see the Giants play.
Oh, and is that where you ended up? Did you have to pee at some point at Candlestick Park?
My dad taught me very few man lessons. But because when you're raised by a lady, you get feminine energy where you're like, especially little boys, they can get huffy.
Yes.
Like a mom.
Yeah.
Like my mom's huffy. And so I always, when I was little, I'd get like,
I need to pee. I need to pee.
Like I was a good kid, but I would get huffy if I had, you know. And my dad was like, we just left Candlestick Park after a Giants game. And my dad was like, all right, so just piss in the parking lot. And I was like, no.
Yeah. Especially because mom would never do that.
Yeah.
Mom would never
would find you at least a porta
potty. Absolutely. Yeah.
Dad was like, nah, man, just piss here.
Yeah.
And he'd always call me pal. And I'd be like, I was like, I got to pee. He's like, pal, just piss under the car. And I was like, but I can't. And then I remember my dad was like, I just remember he had a Marlboro Red like between his finger and his middle finger. And he did the thing where he touched the bridge of his nose.
Like that meme on the internet of that same
Ben Affleck.
Yes,
it's
basically
like the Ben Affleck thing where he was like, I remember he took a pull of a cigarette and he went, just piss under the car.
That's such a post-drag statement, too. Yeah. You saying this actually just reminded me of a quick story. I have very similar thing. Me and my dad, I grew up in Minneapolis, and we had twin season tickets.
Yeah.
And he's a British guy, so baseball was really the only American sport he could understand because he loved
it. Yeah, it's American cricket.
Exactly, and he loved cricket. So
yeah.
He loved baseball. We go to the baseball game. Every time we go to the baseball game, he gets very drunk, like off of what he would call Nat's piss, which is Michelob.
Bad beer. Yeah, dude.
And it would get to a point where he would flag down the guy who would walking down our aisle and go like, one Nat's piss, one Nat's piss. And the guy would know what that is and give him
dude,
a Michelob.
Growing up with a dad with pub speak has to be awesome. Yeah. Like, well, look who just walked in the door. If it ain't me little piffer, if it ain't me little wobbly Barry himself. He's like, Dad, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
Like, oh, piss off your aunt. You fucking grubby aunt.
I should have never left home, I tell you what, lads. You'd be a bloody plonker if you were over there.
We'd be having your fight boys down by the river.
So... after the game, like you said, we're by the parking lot, except I don't have to pee. He has to pee.
Oh, shit.
And he's going.
That's a felony.
Right? And we're in we're in a garage, so it's not a lot. It's a garage. And he goes, God, could use a piss, son. And he would call me lad all the time. He's like, gotta piss, lad. And I and he told me to. He's like, go out that door. We were in the staircase. He's like, go out that door. Make sure nobody comes in. And he obviously he starts pissing, right? And I'm standing at this door. All of a sudden, this I would say like it was like a young couple must have been, but to me it was like old couple. Giants. I'm a kid, right?
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, they
I
were
can't,
giants.
I can't talk to these people. I can't say anything. So they started coming towards the door, and I started just going to my dad. So I just fling open the door, and I just see his dick pissing into the corner, like right by the door, almost on my foot. No. And I'm like, Dad, they're coming, they're coming. And he's like, oh, for fuck's sake, just tell him to leave, leave. And I go, you tell him, you tell him. And I'm like running into another corner, and he just starts yelling like, I'm pissing, I'm having a piss, I'm having a piss. And these people looked terrified because foreign, and he's yelling about piss, and there was a kid.
Yeah, who left? Who left screaming?
Yeah, exactly. Were they scared?
The character's I need to get out of here while I can.
I can't believe I forgot about this until Dan mentioned it.
Oh, that's how trauma works, Nick.
Yeah.
It hides it deep in the brain. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot about it. Also, something really weird happened to camp one time. I just saw it coming to me now in a dark blur.
Guys, guys, you just fucking opened a door.
Yeah.
I'm remembering some bad stuff now. Some bottom bunk tales. Yeah, I mean, covering for your dad is always funny.
Yeah,
always funny. Having a child cover for you to take a piss. Sorry, my dad. You could have been real creative if you're like, sorry, my dad's sucking his own dick.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing. Hold the fuck on.
But nothing at that like that had happened, so I wasn't funny yet, or I wasn't creative. You know, there was no scars, so I was just a blank slate, scared.
You were just a sweet, soft, pink belly little boy.
With
no scars on you.
The best part to me is he also had to drive afterwards. So he's just this hammer that he's pissing in a parking lot yelling at people, and he's like, let me safely drunk drive my son home.
That's so fucking funny because I've been noticing more and more of the stories I tell from childhood. I'm like, wait, they were fucking hammered. But we got home.
As sometimes you do when you're drunk driving, which we don't unreport it.
That's true. Those are unreported. The successes.
Yeah, I feel like with the internet now, it's going to leave a trail of your dirt way more than what it used to. Because you used to like, my dad died in 97. So I was like, oh, you know, I always had this thing of like, he was just a tortured soul. And it just alcohol got him. It just snuck up and got him. And then I was helping my grandma move storage units. And I found this bowling ball bag, and I was like, why the fuck does my dad have a bowling ball bag? My dad didn't bowl. He fucking worked at a bowling alley. That was it. And I opened the bag, and it was just like a fucking receipt for a DUI.
Oh shit.
You like start to see stuff and you're like, oh fuck, man, you kept the paperwork.
Yeah,
you should have burned this, dude.
And it's like alcoholics now too, when they quit drinking, you can still like peruse the photos of their past, and you see them with their buddies like carrying them, and you're like, oh, that guy was a mess. So
yeah, smoking. I remember my mom quit smoking cigarettes when I was 6, and then there's pictures we have in a photo book of like my parents in the late 70s in San Francisco, and they are fucking smoking and drinking, and I'm like, damn, y'all were a party couple.
Yeah.
Because now I'm older than the age they were when they had me, and I'm like, I know exactly who you guys were. You were the fun couple that went and had a kid, and I'm that fucking kid. Holy shit.
And everyone was secretly concerned but didn't want to say anything.
Who's going to call Charles?
I bet if some of their old friends saw this podcast, they'd be like, your head is big for a reason.
Yeah.
I was there. I let your mother drink.
Yeah.
And you're like, son of a bitch.
Well, Dan, is there anything that you want to plug before we head out?
Bonfire, Monday through Thursday on Sirius XM Faction Talk 103. And then if you have HBO Max, check out Son of a Gary.
It's fucking hilarious. And you're back on the road, so go check out your website, right? Is it just DanSoder.com?
Yeah, DanSoder.com for live dates. I'm back on the road. Pretty heavy.
Well, are you coming to Chicago anytime soon? No.
I think I'm working out a new date for Zanies.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully. We'll see you then for
hopefully, sure. Hopefully, you know? Yeah, I was, after the HBO special came out, I was going to do a run of theaters. I was going to do Chicago, Detroit, and Cleveland. And I was like, I was getting real ready for it in January of 2020. And then COVID was go back 5 steps. Fuck. And I was like, got it. You got it.
Well, Dan, it's been a blast, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, I'm glad I can remember you covering for your dad pissing.
Yeah, that was huge.
God, we should all be so lucky as to have a fucking pub dad.
I know. It was pretty fantastic. And what's worse now is he knows about the podcast, and so he'll hear me remembering that. So
oh, bloody shit. He's probably going to call you and be like, that guy with the dead dad's English accent sucked. And you know what, sir? You're not wrong.
It's better than a lot of people try. So
yeah, I just do cartoonish.
Yeah, it's all right, though. It's not bad. Yeah. All right, Dan.
Bye, guys.
If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!